right. Well, we'll continue our study in Genesis. I appreciate Ken filling in last week.
No,
really? That can be fixed. That can be fixed.
You mean broke?
No. No. But today, looking at Abram getting a new name and God making a covenant with him. But let's think about a few things first. Do we ever try to take control of our own lives, make plans without seeking God's advisement or God's help? And then when things go wrong, do we then ask God for help? Or do we kind of want to turn maybe and say, well, why didn't you let me know to start with that this wasn't going to work? But is it better to trust our plans or his plans? Guys, that's what we'll see today. We've known the progression with Abram and Sarah. But in Genesis 17, verses 1 through 8, it will just read this. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. It says, Abram fell down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. You no longer will you be called Abram, and your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, who you are now an alien, I will give you an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And on prior lessons we've talked, and God instructing Abraham, wanting him to take this journey, go and lead the people, and you know, Abram kind of questioned him about his age, why me, but we know who Abram was, a faithful follower. He was a wealthy person, but God chose him to do his work. And he has gone and done that. But now he comes to Abram, and he wants to make a covenant with him. And the covenant being that I have trusted you, you have trusted me, and I'm going to bless you and your descendants for many generations hereafter. Abram at this time, being not, let's say, submissive to God, but obeying and obedient to God, the scripture tells us he falls down or face down pretty much in obedience to God in a prayerful mode to listen to what God is saying to him. Now, if we think about obedience to God and fellowship with God, is there a difference? And does one take precedent over the other, or does one have an effect over the other?
Great effect.
Mm-hmm. Because can you just have fellowship with God without being obedient to him?
It's kind of like parenting, because we used to tell our children, I am their best friend, so we do have fun together. But I'm their mother first, so you expect them to be obedient or follow your direction, I guess you could say. So it'd be the same thing with him. He blesses us and joy, but then also the scriptures teach us where we need to be obedient and listen to him and follow his will. So it's kind of, I don't think you can have one without the other, but now that would be just...
The disobedience would break the fellowship.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Well, if you think about it in a relationship between a parent and child, if you have a child that's disobedient, how's that going to affect your fellowship?
So you can try to have fellowship with them, but that division is going to step in front of and block what enjoyment you possibly could have with the fellowship. Because the writer uses this example, you know, if we think back when we were younger parents, did we ever ride in a car with a first-time driver? And with all the instruction you'd given them, did they take ownership to the point that I know what I'm doing? But while you were in that car with them, did you see that they really didn't understand what's going on? But is that a way some Christians treat their relationship with God? I'm going to do what I want to do. I know who you are. I know your teachings. But I'm going to do it my way.
Is that like coming to church on Sunday and then going out the rest of the week doing what you want to?
Yeah, a little bit.
You may better examine your relationship if that's the way you live all the time.
And then too, we all know, if Christians and you study, you know, he's always willing to forgive us. So we're bad, I'm not saying we're bad, but we are, like Debbie said, it's easy to come on Sunday and do your church thing, then on Monday through Saturday do your own thing, and then come back on Sunday and ask forgiveness. And
But a key point, like in verse 4, God speaks and he says, as for me, my covenant is with you. You will become the father of many nations. That separates God by himself. That's telling us, or him telling Abraham now, I am God, I am the Almighty God. And as we've said before, Abraham's faithfulness to God, Abraham didn't question that. He understood that. But can we use Abraham's story? God has told him, I'm going to make you, bless you with many nations, and many kings will follow in your name. Does that give you any hope if you have difficult situations? I mean, I look at that. Was Abraham in a difficult situation at that point? That's all right.
99 years old and a new father.
Well, we hadn't gotten there yet.
He had been promised it for 24 years.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
But they made their own plan because of Sarah thought she was too old, right?
But that's coming up. That surprise is coming.
I said what I said. I'm ahead of you. I'm sorry, y'all.
No. Because if you look at it, Abraham was promised, you know, for many generations following, you'll be blessed. Your name will be blessed. Your name will go on.
It would be hard for him to keep that faith, knowing
that's it. Yeah. So how does that affect us as Christians in our walk with God? When we look at this, when our life is over, do we just think that's it? Or do we look at our lives having an effect on other generations to come, with your children, grandchildren, friends, relatives.
You know, most of us have heard all of our lives about a prayer warrior that's prayed for a particular person their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And the prayer warrior dies, and then down the road, the person they had prayed for all those years to become a Christian does become a Christian. So the prayer warrior didn't per se see face to face the answer to her prayer or his prayer, but it was fulfilled at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like Abram. He kept going, even though he hadn't seen that he hadn't had the answer yet. He hadn't seen his answer as of yet.
It deepens our faith to know that God is faithful, and that
yes,
the things he's promised us as his children, he will bring them to pass.
I mean, it's just like this story.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. For generations passed on, we all go back and relate ourselves, say, to Abraham
and his lineage. And I'm sure we all have people that we're praying for and have prayed for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that God is faithful to hear those prayers.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem we run into is we can take God at his word. We believe that he will fulfill his promises. Where the problem starts is when he doesn't do it on our timeline. And then we wonder at what point do we have to intercede and fulfill his promise on our own. And I hate to say this, and I think I'm guilty of it, and I think probably a lot of us are, is we take that promise, and then instead of praying about it, and it was like we were talking last week, you know, nowhere in here does it say that Abram ever asked God when.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that would have been the right question to ask. But we do that, and then a lot of times what happens is it's the same thing like with Abram. When we take the reins away from God and then we start running with it because we don't know what the ultimate plan is or how he intended to carry it out.
Right.
And I think that's the... You know, that's where we run into problems, and then, like you said earlier, and then that's when we come back and ask God, "I thought this is what you wanted," and God was like, "No, that's what you thought
I said."
And we've also talked about living in an instant society, kind of like a microwave.
Yeah.
I pray for something today. Before the end of the day, it needs to be answered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Ken said, it's his time frame is totally different than what our time.
Mm-hmm.
I think he tests our patience.
Well,
it might not happen 3 days from now, it might not be 20 years, but when he sees you let it go, like, all right, when you're ready, it'll happen, and you forget about it, that's, I think, when
he comes knocking and saying, what happened? Or here I am. But the next big surprise we get into is God tells Abraham, I'm going to bless you with a son. You're going to call his name Isaac. And as scripture says, it's like in verses 15 and 16, it says, God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you're not, well, I call her Sarah, but you're going to still call her Sarah. I will bless her and I will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. King of peoples will come from her. In verse 17, it says, Abraham fell face down. He laughed, and he said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And 18, it says, Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Well, we know how Ishmael came to life is not that Abraham felt like he had to have a son, but maybe in a sense, I need a son to carry on my name. And Sarah, being Sarah, just, well, I can't offer that to you. So you take one of my maidservants. That's how Ishmael came on the face. Ishmael is Abraham's son. But when he mentions that to God, did God just say, no, Ishmael is not worthy? No, he tells him in verse 19, but your wife will bear your son and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. It says, as for Ishmael, I have heard you, or I hear you. I will surely bless him, and I will make him fruitful, and will greatly increase his number, and he will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. So God just didn't push Ishmael out of the picture because he wasn't born of Abraham and Sarah. But why do we think that he chose or is blessing Abraham and Sarah with a son and not choosing Ishmael? But I thought it was interesting. The scripture tells us Abraham falls face down and he laughs. Isaac's name means he laughs. So is God putting a little humor in here? You laughed at me? I'll bless you with a son whose name means he laughs. But whenever God speaks, and I'm taking this from the lesson, it says, whenever God speaks, regardless of how impossible his message may seem, his word demands unqualified acceptance. Is the essence of faith, the essence of faith is to believe God in whatever he says. But do we struggle with that as Christians?
I think what Kim said too, though, one of the biggest struggles as Christians is our time factor. I think that's just a human nature. Because, I mean, we all look at the clock. So I think at the time, the timing would be one thing. You talk like the baby, like them having a baby. Well, if you've been single for a long, I mean married for 10 or 15 years, and you're a little bit more financially stable and on and on and on, it's okay, it's time. But if you're just a newlywed and you're still struggling, and all of a sudden you find out you're pregnant, it's not time. You know, we need to pay this off and do that. But it's time and God's timing. I think we forget that sometimes.
But did God tell Abraham? Well, he did. In verses 21 and 22, he did tell Abraham, within the next year, Sarah will bear a son, will become pregnant, and give birth to the son of her own. And at that time it says God then withdrew from Abraham. But does that mean that he abandoned him? Abraham knows who God is. He knows how faithful God is. He sees how, in his works, in his time, how God has blessed him.
You got to remember, but Abraham saw what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, that's coming up
too. I mean, that
would it put a little fear in you?
Oh, yeah.
And then my Bible says, then he finished talking with him. So,
yeah.
And I, somewhere along the way, there's been something else in this teaching. And I have written, we need to stop and listen. So when he finished, we should have been, we need to listen.
Mm-hmm. Just like, I forget where it's at. I think in Psalms, the verse, be still and know that I'm God. I know this might be cutting it quick, but is God faithful? Is he capable of delivering all his promises? True.
But do you think sometimes we miss out on that?
And because we're impatient.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not that we didn't listen, but...
We want it now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I can use that with grandkids. It's, you pick them up, you're coming to our... from their house to our house, how many miles is it? And how long is it going to take? Well, you've ridden this road numerous times. You know, just sit back there and relax. Don't worry about it. But one of them, he was so infatuated, he would look at his watch. And if I told him 50 minutes, he knew when 50 minutes was up. And if we wasn't there, why aren't we there? You know, just leave it alone. But impatience, and also, do we put limits on ourselves sometimes as to what God can do through us? You know, if you're asked to do something, let's say in the life of the church, is the first answer, can't do it. Sorry. Do you throw up that red flag? Do you limit yourself by saying no to begin with? Or should it be, well, let me think about it. Let me pray about it. Let me talk to God. Let me see what this involves. Let me see how things work out. Does it always work out for the best? Possibly no sometimes. But can you think of any time when maybe God said no to you, or maybe God said no to another person that you knew was dealing with something, that your way is not the right way? I've got a better plan for you. You know, because as we mentioned earlier, are our plans always the best plans?
Well, I think if you go back and you look through the Bible, you know, with Abraham, I think we're, for those of us that believe and we have faith.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we're in this mindset that we look at our abilities, our disabilities, and we don't look at it's God that does it. And if he calls us, he will equip us. Because, I mean, you look at Abraham, God didn't say, Abraham, I want you to go do this. He basically said, I want you to follow me. Because he said, I'll show you a land. In other words, God was going to be there with him, leading him. And then when he called Moses to go to Egypt, you know, Moses didn't jump up and say, go ahead and send me, Lord, I'm ready. You know, no, he started coming up with excuses. And Elijah, when he was running from Jezebel, and he said, take me now, Lord, because I'm the only one. And I mean, and we always, we when God calls us to do something, it's not, I don't think it's as much we doubt God as we doubt ourselves. And maybe partly... we doubt ourselves because something within us, we know that we fall short. And we know that while God can do it, because we see him do it through other people and we believe that, we just don't seem to be able to... We see our flaws to such a degree that we think, even if we think, well, I think some of us say, well, God can't use money. I mean, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel, all of them had excuses too. But we we just feel like we're going to fail. And I think there's that fear of it, and that mm-hmm. fear of the unknown, and we know it's beyond us. And that's where I like what the author of this said last week. We were looking at it, and he said, oh, no, this was Louis Giglio that said it. What do we see, the insufficiency of me or the all-sufficiency of God? And I think that's a lot of times that's where we run into problems. And we think maybe God can use somebody else. We mm-hmm. tend to think that people that do great things for the Lord, that those people are different from us. They're just as flawed. Mm-hmm. They're just as weak.
Because Abraham offered God a second method. Why do you think he did that?
What? He didn't believe God's message would come
along. Was it because, you know, he laughed at him? I'm 100 years old, man. And my wife's 90. And so did Abraham think, well, my wife can't bear a child. You know, did he think he might lose her through childbirth? So, God, why do that? Why don't you just take Ishmael, who is already my son?
Or maybe he remembered what it was like while Ishmael was little.
Could have been. Could have been.
I think, too, sometimes we start doubting our faith. This person succeeded in what they did because their faith is stronger than mine. You know, that's a personal, that's between you and the Lord. But we start doubting, and our doubting
Mm-hmm.
But you always have to remember there's no one perfect.
You know what the funny thing is, the only one that had absolute faith that didn't question God was Jonah. Because Jonah, we tend to think that Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because they were so horrible. No, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he hated them. He knew God was faithful and he'd keep his word.
Mm-hmm. I'll send you anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about Job? I mean, how much faith he had.
Oh, yeah, Job went through a lot. Mm-hmm. Suffered a lot. But
there's something about this whole thing that appears, I mean, back then, I think a lot of people do, is the sequence of this covenant being given to Abraham about, you know, your offspring, by you,
mm-hmm.
to not have this. But this happened after Ishmael was around.
Right.
This wasn't before.
Yeah. No.
See, a lot of people, including myself until just now, have all been told and understood and have discussed and everything the other way around. This covenant with Abraham was given prior to him getting with Hagar and having an issue.
No.
That's where that you know, my faith that we're talking about wasn't there, and because of that, that's how that came about. And why did that come about? Well, they thought, well, in that time, that was a natural thing. It wasn't illegal, it wasn't wrong or anything for you to do that. And God did say he would be from you. You would have this child. Didn't mention Sarah at that time. Just said the child would be your child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, therefore, that left it open to do what they did do, okay, which was perfectly fine within the culture and everything back then. And then he came along. Well, then 13 years later, then he comes and says, okay, here's the rest of the story here. The here's what it's going to be. It's going to be here, but it's going to be by Sarah within the next year. And that's where the rest of this is going to go forward. Now, by the way, worry about Ishmael. That's all cool. I've got plans for him.
Got plans for him,
yeah,
too.
Then the rest of it's revealed 13 years later. But see, what most people, and I'm sure you probably heard, have got this sequence in reverse. And thinking, and you know, a lot of discussion has gone into why did Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael, all that right there. Why did that occur after that covenant was given that, you know, God was going to have this covenant going on?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about now. And that puts a whole different spin on everything as to what happened, why it happened, who, and everything. That just totally turns everything around.
Mm-hmm.
To where that discussion is really moot point, because that covenant, this covenant here had not been given to Abraham.
Right.
At that point. A different one. This one. And he had told him, okay, there's going to be one of your ones down the road, that you know, new things with where, with all these other specifics that came 13 years later after Mishra was around. There's a lot of discussion, a lot of belief out there that all this was in the other way around. And that's how Hagar, Ishmael, and all that other came around, and eventually so on and so forth. And we discussed some of that last
time. What?
Not this reversal. But
yeah.
But you have to go back though and look when the Lord appeared as a Christophany when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, though, you got to remember, he told Abraham then, and said, Sarah was in the tent and laughed. And he said, why did Sarah laugh? And then she denied it. So she knew. She did know. She had knowledge. But then I think there was the question, you know, she had that doubt. But again, you know, it goes back to, did they ask for details? Or did they just go on the assumption when he said, you're going to have children, you know, then, you know, did they just take that, you know, well, okay, next year this time we'll have a baby, or, you know, did they really seek the Lord's will? I think that's what we were talking about earlier.
Our discussion last week was like that. It's like, well, they were, if you took God at his word of what he had told you at that point,
mm-hmm.
and left it wide open for what occurred to occur behind that, because that was perfectly fine and legal, and yes, that child would be from my loins or whatever. Didn't say it had to be from Sarah. Okay, and that was, if they were following everything that was going on hunky-dory, you know, there wasn't really anything wrong with it. And really, by reading this, there wasn't anything wrong with it. And that was part of the plan, because obviously God had plans for Ishmael and all that as well. And that all this was all part of the plan, which was revealed 13 years later after.
Mm-hmm.
Not the other way around. That's what confuses a lot of people, because they've got the other way around.
But
also in verse 6, though, it tells us that it says, and I will make nations of you, mm-hmm. and kings shall come from you. Mm-hmm. That's preparing us, to me, that
for future.
It's beginning to tell us what's going to come many years afterwards, all the kings that are going to come, and how it'll end up with us having a Savior. So this is kind of the beginning of the story, and what we know will be the end of the story.
What do you think would have happened if Abraham had not mentioned Ishmael to God?
God wouldn't have revealed his plans for Ishmael.
But he always knows what you're thinking.
But I think
true. Your mind.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think he would have still taken care of Ishmael, just not told anybody how he was going to take care of him?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he would continue to bless him and make him who he was. He just wouldn't have talked. Ishmael wouldn't have known what was going to happen to
her,
I guess you could say.
Well, that was revealed later after they did so. Right? Hagar and Ishmael not long around, then God did reveal to them what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Then that plan was revealed to them, even if nobody knew in advance of that. It didn't happen. Then at least they did know at that point, once they went around. Okay, don't worry about it. It's fine. You know, the great thing's going to happen for you and so forth and all like that. This is all part of the plan. Oh,
that
would be a wonderful thing to have that come to you after you've been through what you were and you're on your way out, and then to have that revealed too.
That shows that when we mess up, God can still take and make something good out of it. That's right.
But you know, if we do that in our lives too, though, if we do our memories and go back and look at the messes sometimes we were in, how am I ever going to get out of this mess, or how are we ever going to achieve? And then you look, bring yourself to forward, and you see where you came from and how it helped your faith grow to where you are now. You know, I think the older you get, the more you look, reflect back, and realize how that's affected your faith.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Closing question. How does God assure you today? Through Scripture, His Word, through experiences in life.
Through relationship with Him and your personal life with Him,
mm-hmm.
the things that come of that, and you're walking and talking with Him all the time, and there's things that come from that that strengthen your faith and bring that to you, that you know that it's there because you see it happen,
mm-hmm.
you feel it happen. Regardless of the timing, there are going to be some things that happen in your life.
Things
that happen fairly quickly, sometimes down the road, and maybe you see the end result. There's a lot of things day to day that do happen if you're just watching for it, think about it. If you've been talking with him and working on stuff, kind of like that, and Holy Spirit's pulling you in a certain direction, and then the result comes from that, that God wants you to see that, that helps strengthen your faith there. Is that, okay, we talked about it, you asked me to show you what I wanted, I gave that to you, you followed it, here's the result.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go, here's the full cycle here. You know, and that helps strengthen your faith, makes you feel stronger. It's like, okay, I'm with you.
Goes back to the two words, fellowship and obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Putting it together. So. Miss Lee?
Thank you, Oliver.
Yes, ma'am.
We appreciate y'all coming in. We always enjoy having you with us. It's a treat having Sid and Frank and
He left.
Mr. Bell. It was a treat having him with us this morning. Let's stand and have our benediction.
Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.